You're listening to the Flip Empire Show with Alex Pardo, episode 80.
Welcome to the Flip Empire Show, bringing you the interviews, strategies, and insights for smart real estate investors. Prepare to dive into the minds of real estate's heavy hitters and gain the cutting-edge expertise you need to scale and grow your real estate empire. Your success and freedom starts now with your host, Alex Pardo.
Hey, what's up, guys? Thanks for joining me on another masterclass here. This is part two with John Martinez. And the first part, we talked about how to speak to sellers, how to process leads, how to connect, build rapport, to effectively move the sales process along. And what we're going to do in part two now is actually talk about when you're on an on-site appointment with a seller, what does that look like? How do you actually secure and lock up the deal? But guys, before we jump into it, if you don't know who John Martinez is, first of all, I want to encourage you to listen to part one, which was episode 78. But he's the founder of Midwest Revenue Group, which is really the only real estate investing specific acquisitions and sales training company that I'm aware of. And the guy's worked with over 350 investors, some of the top people out there. He's trained salespeople, acquisitions agents, dispositions agents to buy properties at deep, deep discounts, to increase our margins and so we can make more money. So again, if you haven't heard part one, definitely check it out. And now let's get into part two. Hey, my friends, welcome back to another masterclass here on the Flip Empire podcast. Now, I want to really dive right into it. This is part two with John Martinez, where if you haven't heard part one, I want to encourage you. That was last week's masterclass. Definitely go back. John just dropped value bombs and delivered gold in terms of, you know, we spend a lot of money on marketing as real estate investors. We want to get the phone to ring, but so many people don't have the proper training to understand and know how to effectively speak to a seller, build rapport, identify their why and what their pain is. And so on that particular masterclass, you know, we just did a deep dive on how do you process a lead? Like, what's the exact script and the exact questions that you want to ask a seller and the psychology behind it? Why do you want to ask those questions and why is that approach so effective? So if you haven't heard it, I definitely want to encourage you. You can listen to this and then you can go back and listen to, part one. But I think you're going to get a lot more context if you listen to the first part and then you jump into this one. So what we want to do is we just want to do a natural continuation of now that we've spoken to a seller, John and I did some role playing. This particular podcast is going to be about now that we're meeting with the seller and we're belly to belly and we want to lock up this deal, what should that appointment look like, right? What is that meeting? Like, what's entailed? Like, what questions do you want to ask? How do you overcome certain objections? And so if it's cool with John, I think one of the things that I'd like to do is some role playing similar to what we did on part one, except we're going to do role playing as if John and I were sitting at the kitchen table. And, he wants to buy my house. I want to sell. And I'm just not sure if he's the one I want to work with or not. So, John, man, having said that, it's awesome to have you on part two here, bro.
Yeah, man. Good to be back. And I'm looking forward to it, Alex.
Fantastic, man. So listen, I guess we don't really need to get too much into, your background. We covered that in part one. So if it's cool with you, man, I'd love to kind of dive right into the content here and the meat and potatoes of, you know, now meeting with a home seller. Part one, you know, we ended with you set up an appointment. You identified that as a home that you wanted to check out and potentially purchase from me as the seller. And part two, if it's cool, man, I'd like to just kind of get right into, maybe you can kind of highlight the end of that call. I know that you set some expectations. Maybe we can start there and then we can, you can knock on my door, I'll answer and we'll take it from there.
Awesome. So that's exactly where we'll jump in. So last week we talked about, wrapping up the phone call. And as we did, we wanted to set the right expectations for the on-site meeting. Just so they knew exactly what to expect. So when we did that, we talked about how long the meeting would take, exactly what would happen. And we also relieved pressure by letting them know, hey, at the end, it's not a hard sale. If it works, it works. If not, no sweat. So that sounded like this. Hey, listen, what we'll do is we'll come out. We'll spend about 30 minutes together. What I'll do during that 30 minutes is walk the house, take some pictures, really, really look at the condition so I can put together my offer. And before I leave, I'll have an offer down to the penny a cash offer for your house. If you love it, I've got paperwork. We could sign off on it then. If timing's not right or anything else just isn't right, no sweat. I don't buy or intend to buy every single house I walk into. We'll just, it means I put my best foot forward and it didn't work. And we'll kind of shake hands and leave it at that. So that's how we wrapped up that phone call, because we want this appointment to stick. And if people are uncomfortable because they don't know what's going to happen or they're scared they're going to get pressured into anything, they're usually going to cancel or keep postponing that sales call, or at the very least go into it with quite a bit of trepidation. Yes. So that's where we ended up with the call.
Got it. And one of the things I probably should have mentioned at the top is, John, this is something that you recently put together. So if you heard part one at the end, you know, John gave away his script, the seller script. And this is the same exact script that my team and I use to speak to sellers and to basically process leads. But John also scripted out meeting with a home seller, and you know, he broke it down into a framework that's so easy to follow. And so not only do, you know, does my team now use a script to, you know, speak to sellers, but we also have a script and a framework, more of a framework, right? That yeah. When my acquisitions manager meets with sellers, he already has a framework of what that meeting is supposed to look like. And it's, you know, sometimes you kind of have to deviate depending on the situation. But as long as we hit the important parts of what John and I are about to role play on, you know, that's the key. And so John's also making that available at the end of the interview here. I'm going to show you, tell you guys exactly where you can go so you can download that meeting with the homeowner script.
Yeah, absolutely. Anyone who can make some use out of it, I definitely invite them to. It'll make life a lot easier.
Yep, and that's 100% free, guys. So I think you're really going to get a lot of value from that. So yeah, John, now you set up the appointment. I have clear expectations as to what this kind of looks like. I'm not in the dark about how long you're going to be at my house, if you're going to be super salesy. You've built rapport. And my sister and I are interested in selling our house because our parents are getting old and they're going to move back in with us. They're not doing well health-wise. And I just kind of want to recap, what that conversation was like. And so I think as a seller, I'm looking to get about 150, 160. So that's kind of where we left off. And now John is going to come to my house and, you know, we're going to kind of role play from there.
Yeah. So, and I'll set this up. So I think it'll work best, Alex, if we kind of chunk this down into sections, and I'll give a real quick overview of what the next section is and why we're doing it.
Perfect. Yeah. So we'll hit the pause on every, you can just kind of drive the role playing, John, and we can hit the pause and then you can kind of rewind and break down before we go on to the next part. That works fine, man.
Awesome. So we'll start at me showing up at the door. And then we'll pause, do a quick explanation, and then start the tour. So if you're ready to jump into it, man, I'm ready to knock.
Cool, man. So yeah, go ahead and knock, and I'm ready to rock and roll mine.
All right. So knock, knock, knock.
Hi, is your name John?
Hey, yeah. You must be Alex.
Hey, man. How are you? I appreciate you you coming out here. How you doing?
Hey, I'm good, Alex. Listen, I really appreciate you having me over. I don't know if you remember our phone conversation or not, but you know, while I'm here, I don't expect it to take much longer than really 20 or 30 minutes. And what I'll do is, just take a tour of the property. You can show me around. I'm going to snap some pictures if that's okay. Is it okay if I take some pictures while I'm here?
Yeah, not a problem. The only thing is my sister couldn't make it. So, you know, I know you mentioned that you'd like to talk to her at some point. So I told her you were going to be coming by, and at some point, you know, we can probably just give her a call.
Yeah, no problem at all. So, I'll go through, snap some pictures, and when I'm all done, I'll crunch some numbers and I'll have an offer for you, basically okay. Down to the penny. And if you love it, we can get it written up. If for some reasons it's not going to work, that's okay too. You know, if it works, that's great. If not, at least we put our best foot forward and gave this thing a shot.
Okay. By the way, man, my apologies. This place is a complete mess. My parents haven't really been able to keep up with this, so I apologize for, you know, just kind of things being out of order here.
No, listen, man, this is a lot more common of a situation than you think. Life happens. It happens to the best of us. And I know it's not your fault. It's not your parents' fault. You know, basically, with everything you've told me and how you're handling it, you guys have a better handle on this than most people in the same situation would. So we can pause it right there. So the advance agreement is what we call that first piece, Alex. Mm-hmm. It's where, again, now remember, they might have talked to you a few days ago, even a week ago on the phone, and they might have done a lot of stuff since then in their lives and talked to other people. So what you want to do is bring them back into that conversation and reset those expectations, time frame, agenda, how this thing's going to end, remove all the pressure of pressuring them for a yes. So that's where we started with it.
Got it. And just in a nutshell, I know, so the advanced agreement, can you kind of like boil that down? Is it basically just like how, for somebody that's never heard what an advanced agreement is?
Yeah.
Can you just kind of get into that, maybe elaborate for a minute or two as to what that means exactly?
Yeah. So what an advanced agreement is, and every version of sales training out there has it, from Franklin Covey to Sandler and so on. It, you know, we come into every sales situation with some anxiety, whether we think about it or not. I mean, think about walking onto a car lot and that sales guy walks up to you. You know, you don't just pour out your guts. You usually are going to give him, hey, I'm just looking or something like that. That's because we have these fears that have been built into us since we started dealing with every sales situation that we've ever been in. You know, like, shoot, I'm afraid to open up because what I say they use against me and I don't get the best deal possible. I leave money on the table. Mm-hmm. What if I'm pressured into something? What if they won't leave me alone and I'm stuck in this hour and a half long sales call? There's all these things that eat away at us, and they all really have to do with time frame, what's going to actually happen, or what we call agenda, and outcome, and how does this thing end? And what we want to relay is, hey, if this is a yes at the end, that's cool, and if not, no sweat. And going over time frame, agenda, yours and theirs, and the outcome, and the way we always phrase the outcome is yes is good, but no's okay too. We got to get that out of the way in the beginning of every sales conversation to relax our prospect and really promote an open, honest conversation.
That's right. What it does is, at least from my perspective, John, is it disarms them, right? They kind of put their guard down a little bit.
Absolutely.
Yep. Got it. Okay. So the first part is advanced agreement. And now, so this next part that we're going to role play is, I think it's you getting, like, me walking you around the property, kind of giving you a mini tour, right?
Yeah. So we'll just role play that for a minute and then we'll explain it, because usually these last 20, sometimes 30 minutes. So I have an anchor statement or question that I use to kind of link up all of these parts of the process. So at this point, I'll give you my anchor and we'll just roll into it. So, hey, Alex, you know, would you mind going ahead and giving me the tour?
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, pretty small house. There's not much of a tour, but I guess, yeah, come with me. I'll kind of give you the grand tour. So obviously this is the kitchen here. You know, it's pretty small. There's not much. And like I mentioned, I think on the phone, it's, you know, it's outdated. You know, it's kind of, this is how I remember it when I was a kid. But, you know, so this is the kitchen. And then we got a small little dining room over here. You know, and then back this way is where we have the three bedrooms and the two bathrooms that I mentioned as well.
Beautiful. Hey, you know, this kitchen reminded me of the kitchen I had when I was growing up too. What were the memories like growing up in this house?
You know, pretty good memories. I mean, my parents didn't have a whole lot of money. You know, when we were growing up, you know, I remember, you know, my sister and I were always kind of playing in the backyard or playing, you know, playing sports in the streets. So, I mean, we had good memories. Just my parents worked really hard. And unfortunately, just growing up, we really didn't have a lot of money. And so, but, you know, we made it and we're okay.
Yeah. You know, we didn't have a lot of money either, but, you know, it is same here. You know, it looks like they've really done a good job keeping the place up over the years.
I mean, you know, it's really dirty and messy. I guess for the most part, considering, you know, their age and their health, it's just, you know, the last couple of years, you know, their health has just kind of deteriorated and they just haven't been able to keep up with the property like they used to. But anyway, I mean, so over here you have a bedroom, not much going on here, just, you know, typical bedroom. This is actually the bedroom that I used to live in where I grew up. And then we have a, you know, small little bathroom over here. Like I said, you know, cool. Just original, nothing, you know, nothing fancy about it. And then over here is my parents. This would be considered the master, even though it's not that big. So
yeah, they didn't build them that big back then, did they?
No. I guess not. I mean, this is an old house, so I guess it is what it is, you know. Go ahead. No, I was just gonna say, over here is where you have the bathroom that's inside the master.
Cool. So we'll pause there. So this is the simplest part, guys. We bought ourselves some time. We've got 20, 15 minutes, whatever it is, where we can really build rapport. So what we do during this section is we don't want to, you know, it's not time to sell yet. It's time to really build that relationship. So as we tour the property, we just comment on what we see and make small talk. The key is to you want your seller talking and sharing. So we use different things like softening statements, just different forms of active listening to encourage them to continue talking. We'll make little comments followed by silence, and they'll feel that silence on their own. And we just walk and continue to encourage them to share. You know, the more the seller talks and shares, the more rapport we build. When we dive into the biology and the psychology of it, what we know is when we look at when people talk about themselves, their situations, especially to another person, there's a reward and pleasure zone in the brain, and a chemical is released. And when that chemical is released, it feels good, and they associate that feel good feeling with whatever's going on, whoever they're talking to. So the more they talk, they like you more. So you don't have to do too much at all to start building rapport there. And this is an awesome opportunity while touring the house just to keep them talking.
Got it. And one of the things that really resonated as my team and I are going through the training is, and maybe you could talk about it really quickly here, is you mentioned softening statements. And, you know, when I used to do, well, I still do weekly training with my team, but I would always harp on them to build rapport. And so, at least for me, when I would think about building rapport, I would think about, you know, not so much, oh, hey, how's the weather, that kind of thing. But, you know, if they mention, oh, they're out of town, you know, oh, you know, where are you traveling to, and that kind of thing. So I always wanted to get them talking more, not so much about the property, but just everything else going on. Like, to me, that's what building rapport felt like. And I quickly learned, you know, going through your training, John, that softening statements is a very simple, easy way to also build rapport. Maybe you could talk, you know, a quick minute about that.
Yeah, so softening statements are just active listening. You know, it's not, people confuse, when people think about rapport, you know, similarities do build rapport. So they, a lot of salespeople struggle to figure out what similarities do we have. And I need to do a lot of talking about how I'm just like them, but it's really not necessary. You put too much pressure on yourself, and a lot of prospects just see through it, and it feels a little disingenuous.
Right.
So the best thing you can do is, the other way you can be similar is by understanding what they're going through. You don't have to be in the same situation, but you just have to understand. So little statements like, really, or, you know, I completely understand, or something as simple as, you know, that's a great way to look at things, or, you know what, that's a really good question. You've done your homework. Little things like that, where you really don't have to add anything, just know a few softening statements and apply them where they fit, that really builds more rapport than just talking and talking and talking about how you're just like them. So similarity does build rapport, mm-hmm. but one of the most powerful similarities you can use is, I understand where you're coming from. I get what you're feeling. I may not feel it myself, and I may not have even ever been in that situation, but I get it.
Yeah, yeah. You know, that reminds me of that I don't want to butcher the saying, but people don't know how much you care. Or people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's just about understanding, putting yourself in their position and their situation. So, okay, perfect, man. So now I've kind of walked you through the property. You know, you did a great job of building rapport. What's the next step from here?
So, yeah, so after that, we're going to want to get to the nitty gritty. We're going to have to make an offer at some point. But before I make that offer, I want to really build that motivation, that urgency to take action. And I also want to simplify this conversation. So there's a lot of moving parts in something like this. And when there's too many moving parts, too many variables, people freeze up. So I've got a mission on this next step. My mission is to really simplify decision simultaneously while I get deep into their motivation. Because at the end of all this, I'm going to have a simple question. I'll fast forward to the end, and the way I'm going to have to frame this is, hey, Alex, you know, you told me about your motivation. You know, the only question you really have to answer is doing what you want to do, or getting rid of this problem, or moving towards this opportunity, in essence, acting on your motivation, is that worth selling a house to me today? That's how we're going to have to simplify this whole conversation. So we will start that off with, before I can reframe that, we got to get into motivation. So, you know, what's the drive selling this house? And we'll also get into what we call the deal killers in our training. Now that I know that you're super motivated to take action, or at least have a certain level of motivation, let's talk about everything that might get in the way. So that's the next stage of this thing that we're moving into.
Okay. Now I have a quick question before we jump into it, John. So you and I have already spoken on the phone, and I communicated to you that, you know, my parents, their health is not well, and they're moving out of the house. Is that something that you want to ask again once you sit down at the kitchen table or wherever it might be with the seller?
Yeah. So I'm going to see if that's the only reason they want to sell this place. I want that to be on the surface, because emotion drives action. So even if I just, if it might be a brief touch on it, we might go deeper, but it needs to be emotion drives action. And we see this through fMRI studies and just countless other studies over the last decade when we look at the neuroscience of how decisions are made. So I won't bore you with the science, but we need emotion that drives action. So even if we know what their emotion was from the last conversation, we want to bring it back to the surface so it's fresh, so they're in the right state of mind to take action. Does that make sense?
Yep, got it.
Cool.
Okay, perfect. So at this point, I've showed you the house. I'll let you can just kind of take it from there.
Yeah. So I usually start with something like this. So, hey, Alex, is it okay if I ask you a question?
Yeah, sure. What's up?
So what are you really hoping I can do for you today?
You know, I mean, I had an opportunity to talk to my sister. Honestly, we just want this to be, assuming we can get, you know, a fair and reasonable, you know, price for the house. We don't want to have to, you know, screw around with just having to show the property every weekend. We don't want to do open houses. We'd like this to be as quick as possible. And, you know, I want to try to take as much weight off my parents' shoulder as possible. So, you know, the quicker, the better, assuming that we can get, you know, a price that we feel is fair.
Yeah. And you know, that makes complete sense. And, you know, when you say, you know, something you just said struck home with me. When you said take as much weight off your parents' shoulders as possible, what did you mean by that?
I mean, they just don't have the energy or really the, you know, they just don't know how to deal with selling a property. And you know, my mom gets stressed out very easily, and I can see this just not helping their situation. So that's why my sister and I are stepping in here. We'd like to sell it. You know, we'd like to get as much money as possible. But at the same time, I don't really want them to have to be too involved.
Yeah, that makes sense. It sounds like they're going through a lot right now.
Yeah, they are.
Okay. And it, you know, it sounds like you and your sister are probably dealing with a lot yourselves.
I mean, yeah, it's a lot to take on. You know, we've been getting a lot of people calling us about the house, and you know, I want it to be as quick as possible here.
Okay. So quick is easy for us. But beyond quick, you know, I've got a ton of ways to structure these deals, and the whole reason I'm asking these questions is just to make sure I outline this right and make sure I put you, your sister, and your parents in the best possible situation. So besides it being quick, what else is important about selling this house?
I mean, I think I mentioned to you that the taxes for this year haven't been paid. You know, my parents don't have a lot of money right now, so I don't, you know, I don't know what's going to happen there. I don't know if that's something that you guys can pay, but you know, aside from that, you know, I don't want to have to, you know, show the property a lot. So if, you know, if we can come to a price that makes sense, I guess I just need to know, you know, what other costs are involved and what the process looks like and, you know, when we can sell the house and get our money.
Yeah, that makes sense. And thanks for sharing that with me. And there are reasons why I'm asking these questions, because as you answer, I'm putting together different ways we could structure this deal in my head so I can dial in price and make sure I really have this, you know, the best possible chance of helping you out. So I do appreciate you sharing that stuff with me. You know, sometimes we can pay taxes, sometimes we can't. Let me ask you this. If we were not able to pay taxes, would that be a big deal?
I guess it really depends on you know, the price that we can get for the house. I mean, I got a call. I know, you know, we spoke last week, and I had an opportunity to do a little more research. I ended up speaking to an agent, and, you know, she told me that, I know I told you that we were looking to get about 150, 160. She seems to think we can get more for the property. So, you know, as far as the taxes, we just don't have the money to pay that right now. So,
yeah, no problem. I totally get it. You know, I'm not your only option, man. You could sell it retail if you wanted to. And if the realtor thinks you can get more, and we might have some differing opinions about that. I'll get to that in a moment. But why not just let her list it and sell it for every possible penny you could get out of the thing?
You know, my sister would rather do that because she thinks, you know, she thinks that the house is worth more than I do. And, you know, she's done a lot of research, too. And so she thinks we should just list it with an agent. I think that's going to take a little longer than if I just sold it to an investor, from what I hear. So I don't know. I mean, that's part of the reason I wanted to meet with you here, to kind of see what you can pay for the property and see if it makes sense to go that route, or if we should just, you know, give it to a realtor to do their thing.
Yeah. And, you know, we can buy super quick. I mean, we could close as quickly or as slowly as we needed to. But if this is going to come down to squeezing every penny out of the property, I can't guarantee you get more with the realtor when everything was said and done, with how long it sits on the market and repairs you'd have to make and inspections and things of that nature with commissions. But sometimes you can. I mean, I don't want to talk you out of a deal or push you the wrong way, but I want to make sure we explore every option you got, just so you're crystal clear about what you want to do. Is selling it fast and simple and easily important, or is squeezing every last dollar out of this thing more important?
I mean, honestly, John, both. My sister seems to be a little more patient with this process, but then again, she's not the one that, you know, she's out of town. She's not the one that has to deal with it like I do. So, you know, but at the same time, I don't, you know, we don't want to give the property away. I mean, the house has been in our family for years, and you know, like I said, my parents need this money for retirement and, you know, health bills and things like that. So, I can't sell it too quick because I'm going to need a little bit of time for them to move their stuff out. But I don't want this to be months either, you know?
Yeah, of course not. And you know what, as far as price goes, and I'm still putting that together in my head right now. As far as price goes, if we match up and we are the right fit, price is the last thing that'll get in the way. It'll be a fair price, you know, based on what houses are selling for and what we would need to put in the house. So I'm not too worried about that. What I'm more worried about and want to concentrate on is making sure, you know, if we are a fit, we make sure we're the best fit possible. And if we're not the best fit, I certainly don't want to do a deal. I only want to buy this house if you want to sell it to me. But at the end of the day, it's about making sure you do what's best for you and your family. And it sounds to me like if this thing has to sit for 6 months, that's not a big deal.
I mean, no, I do want to sell it. I want to sell. I don't want to wait 6 months to sell it. Like, I don't care what my sister says. So, I want to sell it a lot sooner than 6 months.
Okay. That makes sense. You know, you mentioned something about your parents having to clear some stuff out of here. What are your plans for that?
You know, I haven't even crossed that bridge. This is starting to get a little overwhelming. I don't know if we'd have to get a moving company, but I don't know how expensive that is and, you know, what all is involved in that process. But I don't know, man. Honestly, I'm not really even sure.
Yeah. So we'll pause here, Alex. So this part of the conversation usually goes on about 20 or 30 minutes, but here's the basic piece of it. Yeah. What I'm going to go through over and over again is keep tapping into different motivations and how important those motivations are, and then everything that can stand in the way of the deal. And the way I deal with it is once I get good motivation, I'll compare any of those deal killers to the motivation. So you might have heard something like, hey, you know, basically asked, is the money or the time more important? And I'm starting to reframe everything. And if I don't hear something I like, I go to the extreme opposite. So, you know, hey, we want to sell it. And if it's got to sit a little bit, we get it. You know, we don't want to give it away. So, hey, Alex, it sounds like you're okay with it sitting for 6 months. And then I just shut up. And Alex tells me, starts pushing back. No, I'm getting rid of this thing, whether my sister likes it or not. So we're building motivation. We're disqualifying other options. You know, we don't have a whole lot of, I actually separate this out into about 5 or 6 different courses in my training all an hour long. So I've got to skim over the top of some of it. But basically, we are going into motivation and also drawing out all the deal killers. And we're finding more motivations too. So we ended up with, we uncovered the whole moving thing. And that's a pain that Alex never brought up. And when I put my offer together, you can be sure that I'm going to dive into that value add of what if I also help you with this, this, and this, and I pay the taxes. And that's how it goes. So right now, Alex is crafting his own offer, whether he wants it or not. So when I get to when I actually roll out my offer, I'm going to freaking nail it. And it's going to be like this was custom built for him, not just a number that was thrown at him.
Okay.
Alex,
okay.
Is that all kind of jive?
Yeah, man. Yeah, that's great. That's great. Yeah, I don't have any follow-up questions. It's pretty straightforward.
Yeah. So that's what we do there. After we get there, what I would do is I'd ask one question to see if Alex actually could make a decision or if we had to wait for the sister. Most of the time in this scenario, without the decision maker there, I would probably hold off on even running the appointment or getting this far into it. I know if I am this far into it, I would need to leave some leverage to allow myself to have a conversation with the sister. So, I'd ask my question here, something like, Hey Alex, I think I got this thing about figured out. I've got some questions, a few questions in regard to what your sister needs to see. So I'm a little fuzzy on a couple things, but let me ask you this. If I lay out everything we could do and the exact price today, would you be able to give me a yes or no answer on whether you could sign off on this? And by the way, if the answer is, hey, no, that's not going to work for me, not going to hurt my feelings, that's perfectly okay. But are we to that point where you can make a decision? So
I mean,
that's how I would test at this point in the sales call to see, do I want to leave everything out on the table or do I still need to get to that sister? If he says, hey, I'm power of attorney, I can sign off on it, we're good. If I like what I hear, it's on. Then I'm going to go ahead and do my full presentation.
Got it.
No, I can't. I'm going to have to talk to my sisters. Then what I'm going to do is not give them the complete offer. Something like, hey, listen, when I get to the money, I'm going to give them probably a bracket and say, now there's it's going to be between X dollars and X dollars. And it's all because I haven't heard from your sister yet. And just like we talked and I found out what's important to you, I've got to make sure I cover everything your sister needs too and is concerned about too, in order to finish up this offer. So that requires a 5-minute phone call. If this is important enough to do, then that's what it requires. And hopefully at this point, I've built up so much pain and emotion. I've dealt with all his deal killers. I've built all the rapport that it's a no-brainer to set up that 5-minute conversation. But I wouldn't ever just walk away with it, leaving Alex to sell to his sister if I had any power over that.
Got it. And John, since at this point you haven't spoken to the sister yet, do you pretty much go through the entire process again, I guess condensed to a certain degree in terms of building rapport with the sister?
Absolutely. When I talk, I'd want to build some rapport. I'd want to find out what her motivation is and what her deal killers are. Because most likely two people have two different perspectives, right? He might want fast. She might just want to make sure she's getting the most money out of it. And it's as easy on the parents as possible. We don't know. So I'd want to take that into consideration. So when I come out with my final offer, I nail as much as I can that he wants, that she wants, and deal with all the concerns that each of them have. That's the only way I make sure my offer is tight and better than any of my competitions.
Got it. And by the way, this is assuming obviously that the you know, Alex, me, right, the seller, and my sister, that we have power of attorney. I'm guessing if we did not have power of attorney, you would have pushed to have the parents present as well, right?
Right, right. And that's not always possible. So if it wasn't possible, I would still go through the same thing. You and your sister would be influencers and would be the gatekeeper to your parents and would either recommend the parents do business with me or not. The only other piece is I'd ask the same questions to you, Alex, and your sister about what do your parents want? What's important to them? What are they most worried about? Whether there's one person, two people, five people involved in the decision process, I'm going to find out what motivates each and every one and how they're making this decision. What will get in the way? What are their concerns, their objections, their worries? Because if I can get and nail 2 out of 4 people, 2 out of 5 people, and I just get the consensus, I'm going to get the deal. So if I only concentrate on one person out of 2, 3, 4, or 5, my chances of winning the deal are way down. I'm going to be off when I put my deal together. Even if my deal doesn't change, it could just be the way I talk about my deal and frame my deal. But the closer I get with everybody, the more I uncover, the more I increase my odds of really nailing this thing and putting together something, or at least talking about my offer in a way that satisfies everybody.
Yep, that makes a lot of sense. Got it. Okay, so I guess at this point, you talk to the sister's on board. Now I guess it's time for you to craft that offer.
Yeah, absolutely. So this is the easiest part. Just based on everything I've heard, I'm going to go through, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time talking about filler. I'm going to talk about my offer in terms that relate directly back to every one of their concerns and every one of their motivations. So you said you wanted to do this. This is why I structured the offer this way, and we'll close quick. You said this was important to you. So this is why I'm putting my offer together this way. You said you were confused and didn't know exactly. You were kind of overwhelmed about the clean out. So here's how we're going to handle that for you. And I would structure as I described my offer. All I would talk about is exactly how my offer related to their motivations, their wants, their needs, their concerns, their desires, their worries, their objections. Those are the only things I need to address. Okay. The rest is just filler they don't care about. So, hey, you mentioned pain. Here's how we're going to address that for you. So it's not even that our offer might change, right? It's how we talk about our offer to make our prospects feel, hey, this thing's custom built for me. This is perfect.
Got it. Okay. So before you even mention the price or put anything on paper, like you said, you're presenting a direct solution to their pain. So in my particular case, as the seller, I want it to be quick. I have a concern about the taxes. I have a concern about the moving, the time frame. So you're going through all those things and you're addressing it. Hey, you know, this can be quick, or it could, you know, we can go as quick or as slow as you want. We might be able to cover your taxes. We might even be able to pay for a moving. I mean, I'm just kind of shooting from the hip here, but yep. Those are examples of how you can identify pain and then how you're going to address it, right?
Yeah, and I'll get to price, and price is a whole nother issue that we talk about negotiating price. There's a whole way to set it up, and I'm not sure if we have time for it today, but if we don't, I'll make sure we do another podcast or webinar or something where we can get into exactly how to roll out price and not get pushback and go into it deeper with you.
Well, John, how long does that process take? I mean, if you're okay on time, then we can get to that if you don't think it's it's too long.
Yeah. I'll give you the Cliff Notes version then.
Okay.
So as we roll out price, there's a very specific way to do it effectively. So we'll get into that conversation now. If you want to, I'm down.
Yeah, let's do it, man. Let's do it. So, we're ready to move forward. And we're anxious as to what you can offer for the property.
Yeah. So, as I looked around, I did my research, Alex. I don't know. Would you be surprised to know that some houses for around here sold for as low as $45,000?
$45,000.
Yeah. I don't think that's your house, but I mean, as I started doing my research, I was really surprised. Here, take a look at these. These are what we call comps. They're just houses that are comparable, right? So do you know this house? It looks like, what's the address on that?
Yeah, no, it's 134 Main Street, but no, but I know that house. I mean, that house is in really, really bad shape.
Yeah, it's definitely not as nice as this house. What did that thing sell for?
Looks like it sold here for $60,000.
Yeah, okay. And how about this one? Looks like it's on Smith Street. Do you know this house or the Smith Street area?
I know the area, but no, I don't know that particular house. But from what I see here, that one looks like it's, well, that one's a little bigger than ours, but not much.
Yeah. And what did that one go for?
That one sold for $80,000.
Okay, yeah. So what you see there, those aren't actually what they were listed for. It's what they sell for. So, you know, as we can imagine, we don't really care too much what houses list for. We are really concerned with and have to base our offers on what they actually sell for. So here's a few more that have sold in your area recently that are like your house. Some are a little, you know, not as good in shape. Some are really beautifully done, just completely redone. Here's one that was completely redone top to bottom. Granite everywhere, beautiful house. It's a street over. What did that one sell for?
Looks like that one sold for about $130,000, $140,000.
Does that surprise you?
I mean, honestly, I thought they were, from the research I did on Zillow, it looked like properties were selling, you know, closer to the 150, 160 range. So a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, based on what you see that they're actually selling for, not listing for, I mean, if this thing was in tip top shape, you know, we rehabbed everything. We rehab, you know, countertops, kitchens, bathrooms, put a lot of work into it. Don't even worry about what that money would cost. But if we did all that, based on what you see houses selling for, what do you think this would actually go for?
If this was completely fixed up?
Yeah.
I guess around, you know, somewhere to 130 to 150 range. I suppose that's what it would sell for if it was fixed up.
Yeah, you know, and that's exactly my thinking. I think you nailed it. I think you're right on. I think you're probably somewhere around 130 to 150, depending on the market at that time and depending on how much work was actually put into it. So Alex, we'll go out of role play right now. So that's what we call setting a price anchor. So usually one of the first things we've got to do is get our prospects back to reality and to actually value a house what we value it at. And if we just say your house isn't worth 150, what do we get? We get a lot of pushback, right? It gets uncomfortable and we actually almost start a fight. It's confrontational, right? Have you experienced that?
I have.
Yeah, and the more we push, they'll push back to defend, well, the neighbor's house sold for this. I was on Zillow for this. So we've got to reset expectations. So we can't tell them. They have to self-discover. So what you just heard right there is a way where we don't tell them anything. We ask questions. We give them some data. And we have them reassess in their mind what the house is worth. So now instead of getting 160 as is, Alex is at 130 to 150 if it was totally fixed up. So we've just reframed the value of the house. So that's the proper way to do it. Because if we tell, they'll push back. It's confrontational. Nothing good comes from that.
That's right.
So that's how we start to set up our offer. Next, now that we've reframed their value of the house, Alex, what I want to do is actually start to make my offer and then move into a negotiation. So we'll pick up role play there and I'll, you know, spend 1 minute rolling out an offer. How's that sound?
Okay. Yeah, that'll be great.
Cool.
Yeah.
So, Alex, I think I'm ready to make an offer on this place. Financial wise, what we can actually cut a check for, beyond all the other stuff that we'll do for you. Cause I know you're interested in what do I actually walk away with? I gotta tell you, I'm a little bit uncomfortable at this point because I know when we started this conversation, you were expecting 160. And now that you kind of know what they're selling for and all fixed up, all the work done, all the resources bought, I think you told me, you know, it'd probably be worth 130 to 150 after all that stuff was done, right?
Yeah, that's right.
And so I'm obviously nowhere close to 160. And, you know, I'm sorry. I get really uncomfortable being the bearer of bad news, but there's no way in this world I could pay 160. And that's not your concern. That's my concern. I'm trying to help you out, but I'm far below that, man. And I feel horrible.
Well, what can you, I mean, I don't, what do you think you can do then?
You know, based on what we have to put into it to make it the nicest house on the block, to put in the granite, to, you know, the house is well constructed, but new carpet, new paint, new appliances, bathroom remodel, kitchen remodel. You know, I'm probably closer to being able to pay somewhere in the neighborhood of 55 to 75 for something like this. And I don't know.
I mean, we were expecting to get a lot more than that. I just don't know that that's going to work. I don't know that that leaves my parents with enough money to do what we got to do.
Yeah, and that's where I'm at, man. I know those numbers aren't what you wanted, and I didn't even want to give them to you.
Could you at least do 100, 110?
Well, I mean, getting up that high, I don't even know if that's, I mean, so if you were to redo this house and everything we talked about how much money do you think that would take? Just ballpark, you know, it. I know you're not in the business of construction, but to redo kitchens, baths, rehab this top to bottom, ballpark, just, I mean, what would you expect something like that to take if you did it yourself?
I mean, I don't know, maybe 20,000, 25,000.
Yeah, I mean, we're probably, you know, realistically, you know, 25 to 35. So I think your numbers are close. So if we could sell it for 130 and we put 35 into it, if we got lucky and we didn't find anything, once we opened this thing up with foundation, walls, roof, if there were no surprises, then that's where we're at about, what's that, about 90 grand, no surprises with zero profit. So I'd love to spend that, pay you that much, but I mean, that's there's no meat on the bone. There's no profit in it. There's no, and my profit's none of your concern, but just financially, we couldn't do it without losing money for, you know, I probably go about 75. If you can think of a way I could pay more, I would love to do it. I mean, do you have any ideas? How do we get that offer higher?
Let me ask you this. If you paid for the taxes, and took care of the moving company, you know, and if we could close in the next, you know, 3 to 4 weeks, could you do 80?
I mean, let me give me a second to crunch some numbers, but let me do some math here. But if I could, is that even worth moving forward on?
I think that's something that you know, my sister and I can work with. If you could at least do 80,000, you know, covering the taxes and the moving company.
So, and we'll go out of role play now, but basically what you saw shrunk down really quick, usually takes much longer than that, is we want to be really reluctant and uncomfortable making the offer.
Right. It was a very kind of like an aw shucks approach, you know, like you felt, like you said, you felt really uncomfortable presenting such a low offer. And I know there's a lot of psychology behind that. So it's the opposite of what people would think, which is like the always be closing approach, right?
Right. And what happens there is the whole paradigm shifts. And you see, at this point, once you've built up all this motivation and urgency to take action, you just phrased how you would do business with them and presented the offer in a way that hits all of their concerns and fears and helps them, you know, gets all that monkey off their back. They're really motivated to take action. And then when we start to pull away and go, I don't know if this makes sense, and you're very reluctant to move forward, the prospect starts to actually sell you. And you're working with them to find a way to get it done. And you're on the same side of the table, not negotiating, but saying, I want to help you. Here's my limitations. How do we figure this thing out? And that fear of loss at that point of losing the deal. And in our training, we get into these things called picture perfect questions and things like that. And after they paint this picture of finally, this is off my back. I feel really good about this. They're living as if and thinking as if it's already done. And that starts to go away. People fight for it and you figure it out together. So there's a lot that goes into that. That's kind of the Cliff Notes version, but that's roughly what it sounds like. And I make these offers every single week, not just my market and all over the country. We bought some $1 million homes in California 2 weeks ago. We did some turnkey investment deals last week in Pennsylvania, and I bought a few houses this week here in Springfield, Missouri. So that's actually how it sounds every time we get to negotiation, exactly like that.
This is awesome, man. I love this. And obviously, like, you know, from California to Pennsylvania, this doesn't matter. This works anywhere, you know. And so if, you know, you're listening in at this point, hopefully you've heard part one. You can see why this approach is so effective. But imagine if you implemented this now moving forward. I mean, with a lot of the content and training that John just talked about in the last, you know, 45 minutes or so, I want to encourage you, when you go on your next appointment, whether it's you, an acquisitions manager, whoever it might be, you know, use this strategy, like frame it this way. And when it comes down to negotiation, make it a team effort as opposed to sitting across the table, you versus them. And I think you're going to start to see, you know, you're going to lock up more deals and get more contracts signed. So, John, man, I know, you know, this is something we talked about at the end of part one, you know, the REI Sales Academy, the training that, you know, my team and I are going through right now. So just in case, you know, anybody just kind of skipped ahead and they haven't heard part one, you mind talking a minute or two about, you know, what your 12-week training course consists of, so that anybody that, you know, wants to jump on board and check it out can do so?
Yeah, sure. So 12 weeks, as you said, we hit inside and outside sales hard. So when I say inside sales, I mean anything done over the phone, how to talk to sellers, and then also outside sales, actually buying or selling properties. And it's 12 weeks. So everything you've heard today, that we spread that out over 12 weeks. So sales process, a lot of advanced tactics and techniques like advanced listening and questioning. Things like, Socratic questions and psychological reactants and transactional analysis. And we get really nerdy with the sales stuff, but we, as complex as it sounds, we give very, very simple tools you can use in any sales scenario. And by the end of the 12 weeks, you've got enough nuggets and tools to make a huge difference in any sales organization. I walk you through it. We simplify everything. People have access to me, so I help them craft emails, close deals, renegotiate, whatever they need in between sales courses. And we usually just do the 12 weeks. We usually just do it four times a year. It's a live session. I'm heavily invested in it and the people I work with. So four times a year we do it. But I think what we're going to set up for you, Alex, is instead of charging the $4,500 for the live course, we would do on demand for $900, 80% off. And then anyone who bought it through any of your people that listen to this podcast and said, hey, this is for me, I'd also throw in that $4,500 seat to the live training. And just on my next course that starts in a couple months here, they just have a spot in it.
That's awesome, man. I really appreciate it. I mean, guys, this is training that, like I mentioned, my team and I are we're in the thick of it right now. I think we're heading into week 9 or week 10, and it's been a game changer for us. I mean, we've totally revamped the way that we're acquiring properties, how we're speaking to sellers, exactly what we just went through the last 45 minutes or so. This is how the acquisitions manager on my team is the framework for his meetings. And we've seen some results just from the 2-3 months that we've been going through this training. So I want to encourage you guys. I mean, John, I really appreciate the, you know, the 80% discount. I think even at the retail price, it's a fraction of how much money, you know, this can make you if you just implement one or two things that you learn in this training. So, guys, if you want to check that out, just go to flipempire.com/John, flipempire.com/John. That'll take you directly to the checkout page. And also, if you want to just, you know, learn more about it, we'll have a link directly to the sales page that talks about, you know, in depth exactly what you get in the training. Just make sure that if you decide that this is for you, and if not, then that's fine too. But if you decide that you can benefit from this kind of training, make sure that you use the coupon code FLIPEMPIRE80. Okay, FLIPEMPIRE80 to get that 80% off. Otherwise, you know, you're paying full retail, $4,500. So no need to do that if you use the coupon code that John's giving us, FLIPEMPIRE80. And then also I talked about the meeting with the homeowner script. So if you guys want this in print so that you can actually role play, with somebody, your team members, whatever it might be, this will also be downloadable in the show notes page on this particular episode. So, this is episode 82. So if you guys go to flipempire.com/episode82, you can go ahead and get the download, for the meeting on an on-site appointment. So John, man, I don't know if you have any kind of closing words, man, but really appreciate your time and for extending that, that discount for the Flip Empire podcast listeners.
Hey man, just always my pleasure to share. And thanks for the opportunity to, talk a little bit about what we do.
Fantastic, man. Well, hey guys, listen, again, I want to encourage you, if you want to check out John's training, just go to flipempire.com/John. And, all the resources mentioned, including the script, will be in the show notes page. And, look forward to having you on, this upcoming Thursday's Q&A episode and then next week's masterclass. So we'll talk soon, guys. Take care.
That's all for this episode of the Flip Empire Show. But we have you covered with even more expertise and resources on our website. Text Empire to 67076 or head over to flipempire.com to join the newsletter and gain free instant access to our video module training course called 5 Ways to Scale Your Real Estate Wholesaling Business to 6 Figures in 6 Months or Less. For more interviews, strategies, and insights for the smart real estate investor, we'll catch you next time here on the Flip Empire Show.